The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Signal Hour. I am your host, Dr. Chris Martinson, and with me today, of course, is the inimitable, lovely Evie Botello.
Good afternoon, everybody. So glad to be here on this warm afternoon. Hope you all are doing great.
Yeah, so let's go here. So we're going to have to discuss not that beautiful landscape. this stuff, is the Epstein cover-up worse than the crime? The crime is horrific. Is the cover-up actually worse than the horrificness of the crime? We'll have to look at that. And if we get to it this time, the inshittification of the country. So this is a fairly gruesome thing to have to look into, but it's really galvanized. It's touched a third rail. People on either side of the aisle have said enough.
Oh yeah.
We are sick of this stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start here with this idea, Evie, that, we talked about just a piece of the startling interview that Joe Rogan did with Kash Patel, right?
Yeah, I remember
that. It was at least in part startling because we talked about these weird, like, rhetorical flourishes that Kash used in his evasions and these awkward pauses where he's clearly, like, not comfortable telling lies. And so the conclusion I think we came to was, well, he's just lying. Now we have a lot more data to prove.
Uh-huh.
Kind of in a prosecutorial, lawyerly kind of way, you know.
Which I know you love.
Beyond a preponderance of a doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So let's go to this. You remember this? Let's get through all of this part. Let me make sure that let me pull this up because I think we're going to have to adjust the volumes real quick.
Sound a little off.
Let's see.
I'm working my ass off along with the leadership at the Bureau and DOJ to get you what we're allowed to give you. And you're going to get the video of the cell.
All right. Let's listen to that again, because this is just a little weird.
I'm working my ass off along with the leadership at the Bureau and DOJ to get you what we're allowed to give you.
Okay. And stop right there.
What we're allowed.
Get you what we're allowed to give you. So you're the director of the FBI. That means somebody more senior than you is telling you what you are allowed to give. Unless what he's referring to is, well, there are these laws that pertain to how prosecutions are conducted, and also that victims, particularly of certain crimes, particularly sexual crimes, are protected.
Right.
Within the court system. So I don't know if he means legally allowed.
Yeah.
Or allowed.
Because who would be above him? Like, who does he answer to?
Well, Netanyahu, obviously. I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's a serious question. Who's above the directors? There's the president, as far as I understand. He's a cabinet level guy.
Right.
The president, I think.
I wonder.
Well, I mean, so they FBI float reports up through the DOJ. So I guess it could be higher ups at the DOJ. I don't know the reporting structure.
I'm not sure either.
I don't actually know this part. But he says, you know, what we're allowed to give you, that's part one of this whole thing. And then notice what he says here very carefully about this part.
I get the video of the cell.
We're gonna give you the video of the cell. Now, this was confusing at the time, and Joe Rogan pokes at that because he's like, hey, wait a minute, we've been told for 5 years now that there was no video, that all the cameras had malfunctioned. And Kash was like, oh no, there's totally video. Now, what we're gonna parse through here is the degree to which Kash obviously ought to be really up the curve on this particular investigation, and he ought to know the difference between one working camera not pointed at the cell and non-working cameras that were pointed at the cell. He should know that. He should also know very clearly that there are two separate incidents, like the one where Jeffrey Epstein was killed, by at least my assessment, and an earlier incident, just a month earlier-ish, where he had allegedly tried to commit suicide in his cell. We'll go back into that. We've gone through it before, but it's important, I think, to start getting the pieces together just to say, look, I mean, obviously, this is junk here. Okay, first, he says, what we're allowed to give you. And then he says very clearly again,
I'm working my ass off along with the leadership at the Bureau and DOJ to get you what we're allowed to give you. And you're going to get the video of the cell.
All right. So Evie, what does that mean to you when you hear that? Like, we're going to give you.
It was a weird pause.
Video of the cell.
Like he had to say what video it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I would assume there's, I guess there could be multiple ones, but it was kind of weird how he paused there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I agree here with Michelle.
Michelle says, once they started talking about Epstein, he was very uncomfortable. His body language said it all, and it was obvious.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And he looks kind of wide-eyed and, like, crazed.
Yeah.
Nervous. I don't know.
Yeah, and we're going to get to this, too, that Android.
Android says, yeah, there's video, and it's also been altered from what I've heard. Like, really altered big time with Photoshop, and it's not going to happen. Yeah, I heard that, too, that it was imported from somewhere else. It didn't have the fingerprints that would say.
Well, let's go into that because it's important. So remember,
original.
We presented this data before, and mm-hmm. So the idea here is that there was this one working camera. You're looking at a schematic of this is the lower SHU, you know, the special housing units and or segregated housing units. Sorry, the SHU, and then here was the upper SHU. Oh no, this is the upper SHU. This is the lower SHU. They're on top of each other. This little red rectangle, that's Epstein's cell. No working camera here. No working camera here. No working camera here. None here. This one would have been awesome because it would have showed you the stairs going up into his thing. One working camera, not exactly where they've positioned. It's actually back in this corner where my arrow pointer is now. And it was a potato cam shooting with 18 pixels resolution total. And again, these two doors are not Epstein's doors. So it doesn't show the door. In fact, all you can see besides this guard desk here is this little tiny sliver of some stairs that go up into that upper unit where his cell was located. So Cash clearly says, I'm going to show you a video, and I shows you that nobody went into a cell. And all he actually had in his possession was allegedly, we don't know what they actually have. This is all they have released and said they've had, is that they have a fragment of a corner of a staircase. But Evie, have you ever been a kid and you tried to sneak up something?
Have I ever been a kid?
Yeah.
I think I was.
That was a soft one. I think, you know, you're going to say, yeah, right? Like if you were a kid and you were like, oh, my mom can see just one side of the stairs, but I got to sneak upstairs. What would you do?
Go to the other side where right? You can't be seen. Yeah. Right?
And then we pointed this out as well. Remember, so not only that, but the video they did give us, people noticed right away that it went from 11:58, 12 o'clock with a big jump there.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
daylight savings minute.
There's at least a whole minute missing that we know. Oh, and the aspect ratio changes too. Like you can see, like here to here, you know, it's just something glitches. Like everything changes. Like, is this the same camera? Even if it was resetting, you know, because it somehow you hired the stupidest video installers for security systems ever, and they go, oh, we can do everything except give you complete coverage all the time. It's going to have to reset itself every so often and you'll lose everything, right? Mm-hmm. Why, even if it did reset itself, Evie, would you have this aspect ratio jump like this?
I don't know. It seems odd for it to reposition itself somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's normal or not.
Yep. And as we went over last time, they said everybody was in their, you know, SHU cells by 8 o'clock, and mm-hmm. then they found Epstein dead at 6:30 in the morning the next day, which is the 10th. But at 10:40 on the 19th, which would have been, I'm sorry, on the 9th, you can actually see an orange blob go up the side of the stairs here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they later said, oh, that might have been Epstein himself. So it's all like they couldn't get their story straight.
Yeah.
They're making up stuff left and right. Okay, so here we go again. And so here's more from that. And this is where it gets really fascinating. And we're going to have to parse this.
July, after this incident, he's placed on suicide watch.
I'm not saying every single camera in the place was working. I'm saying we've got footage and you're getting it.
Okay. So, okay, I'm not saying every single camera was working it, but we've got footage and you're getting it. What he should have said, if he was not being evasively dissembling in that moment, he would have said, actually, only one camera was working, but we'll get you that footage.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every camera was working, but there is footage and you'll get it.
That is kind of a strange way of talking.
Isn't that a weird way of saying, hey, that we really only have one camera view and it doesn't actually show anything?
Yeah, he's defensive. That's what I'm sensing. And defensive usually means that somebody's not being honest.
Yep. The whole thing is just, once you unpack it, every single one of his statements is just sort of like got weird pauses and bad body language. And he gets extra bug eyed and these odd turns of phrase. Like, why wouldn't you just say it directly? I thought the FBI was all about facts, just the facts man, Sergeant Joe Friday.
Like, you know, it's unfortunate that these cameras weren't working. We only have one view.
Yep. You know, here are the other cameras. Here's what's actually happened. You know, remember, so this was bizarre to me. So after the July 13th Butler shooting incident, which I have questions about, of course.
We just had an anniversary of that.
We just did. Where you will note the one thing the FBI didn't do was resolve any of the questions that were still outstanding, which is like, why did the first three shots not sound like the second five shots? You know what would have been a great thing to do? Go back there on the same day, same leaves on the trees, take the same gun, which is in evidence, and shoot from a variety of positions forward and back over that ridge line of the of the AGR building, and show with cameras recording all around, professional ones, but also just like, you know, cell phone cameras, and just show, oh, we can reproduce those odd things that so many people noted, that the first three shots don't sound anything like the next five shots, have different echoes, have different characteristics, right?
They'd have to care about us, though, Chris.
They would.
They think we're stupid.
This is the FBI that actually dismantled the entire, the whole crime scene, washed it down, you know, within minutes, right? With it's a couple
crazy.
Of days. So those people, okay. So at any rate, here we are. And he says, well, we've got this footage and you're getting it.
July after this incident, he's placed on suicide watch.
I'm not saying every single camera in the place was working. I'm saying we've got footage and you're getting it.
We've got footage and you're getting it.
Okay.
Let's take a look at that footage, shall
we? Yeah, let's see.
So it turns out that Wired magazine got their hands on the so-called, what happened was raw video. Yeah, the Department of Justice said, hey, here's all the footage we have to dispel any conspiracy theories. We're giving it to you. Here's the raw. Now, raw means unedited.
Right.
Raw means like you just take a picture on your phone, but you don't put it through a filter. There's a raw file of your picture.
Right.
And then it has metadata on the side. It says what the date was and what
the time, the camera speed,
all kinds of metadata. It's just like it, but it's a file that exists to the side that you can locate. You don't see it in the image, you know.
Sure.
But there it is. Okay. So Wired magazine gets their hands on it. I mean, just read the headline, the subheadline, and let's just do this.
Metadata shows the FBI's raw Jeffrey Epstein prison video was likely modified. There is no evidence the footage was deceptively manipulated, but ambiguities around how the video was processed may further fuel conspiracy theories about Epstein's death.
So look at this. So they get their hands on it. And the first thing they do, they're running interference for the state here on this one.
Yeah.
Well, no evidence it was deceptively manipulated. Yes. Yes. If you call something raw and it's not raw, it's a deception.
That's manipulation
It's been manipulated.
Yeah.
Right. Already. How it's been characterized was deceptive because you knew it wasn't raw.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it had been edited and you released it as raw and unedited. That's a deception.
Yeah.
Full stop.
So why did they give it? They give it to Wired.
I don't know how Wired got a hold of it.
OK, because I'm curious if it's anything like, you know, the folders that were handed out to the independent.
Yeah.
Here you go. I mean, I don't know. It just seems a little too weird.
It gets funkier from here. So let's keep going. Yeah, let's go down to that text, shall we?
The United States Department of Justice this week released nearly 11 hours of what it described as full raw surveillance footage from a camera positioned near Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell the night before he was found dead. The release was intended to address conspiracy theories about Epstein's apparent suicide in federal custody, but instead of putting those suspicions to rest, it may fuel them further.
Okay, now let's stop right here because this bothers me when they say address conspiracy theories. as if now having a normal, ordinary, deductive question about an event makes it a conspiracy theory right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know?
It is kind of strange.
Can you imagine you come downstairs, all the cookies are missing, your child's got chocolate on their lips, right? There's cookie crumbs on the floor, and you say, oh, look, you're going up to your room and time out and you're, you know, some sort of punishment. And they go, Mom, why are you engaging in baseless conspiracy theories?
That'd be something.
It's just the dumbest thing
ever. No,
it's
true.
Why is it a conspiracy theory? It's like, look, all his cameras were malfunctioning magically just a few days before he dies, you know, by one way or
that
another.
That seems to happen all the time. It happens in crime shows. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway. Everybody knows that this is how they get away with things.
But anyway, Wired for having conspiracy theories. How about normal adult observations? Like, we're not freaking morons.
Yeah. How about some logic and
to
some
address
truth?
The non-moronic observations by non-brain dead people about Epstein's parent suicide. There, I fixed it for him. Okay.
All right. So, metadata embedded in the video and analyzed by Wired and independent video forensics experts shows that rather than being a direct export from the prison's surveillance system, the footage was modified, likely using the professional editing tool Adobe Premiere Pro. The file appears to have been assembled from at least two source clips, saved multiple times, exported, and then uploaded to the DOJ's website, where it was presented as raw footage.
Oh, but no evidence that it was deceptively manipulated. You know, we just brought it in Adobe Premiere. We assembled it from multiple clips, saved it multiple times, and then told you it was
there
raw.
There you go.
No deceptions there. None whatsoever.
You conspiracy theorist, you.
Yeah. So I liked how Anthony Dorman put it here. It turns out that in the metadata, we see that the username MJ Cole, MJ Cole, appears in the metadata of the recently released raw surveillance footage from outside Jeffrey Epstein's cell. That's not true. It was from outside his cell. Not outside his cell. At the MCC on the night of his death. Okay, indicating the video file was processed and edited under a window user account with that name. This is an 8.3 short file name format commonly used in older Windows systems for longer file names, likely corresponding to an MJ Cole or M.J.Cole. The metadata reveals the file was created and modified using Adobe Premiere Pro and Adobe Media Encoder May 23rd, 24th, 2025.
What?
This is before that, all the cash stuff we're watching, that was a June interview. So somebody's editing this stuff in May. Then they send cash out in June to do his little shuck and jive, awkward, guilty dance.
Interviews. Yep. Oh, that's strange.
Yeah. Stitched together from at least four separate MP4 clips.
Wow.
What? So now we have that little jump. Right. And they didn't have a video editor who had the chops to not make the whole thing jump when
they didn't know how to fix that
stuff together.
Yep.
Saved multiple times, four instances in about 23 minutes, approximately 2 minutes and 53 seconds of footage are removed or missing from one of the segments.
Oh, that's so gross. These people are evil. Somebody's evil. I can feel it.
Can you?
I don't know. It's just annoying to me at this point. It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously. So again, Jeff Childers for the win. I just
all right.
Love how
he's awesome.
I love this part. So this was from his Monday, July 14th. What's today? The 16th, a couple days ago.
His piece. Wired hired independent video forensics experts who examined the DOJ video and discovered various metadata. The metadata showed that rather than being exported straight from the prison surveillance system, the raw video footage was modified more than once, probably with a professional editing tool called Adobe Premiere Pro. Wired said the file appears to be assembled from at least two source clips, was saved multiple times, exported from Adobe as a single file, and then uploaded to the DOJ's website, where, importantly, it was presented to the world as unedited footage.
Importantly. So Jeff Childers is a lawyer. He's a trial lawyer. Apparently,
right.
He's a very good one.
So he's catching all these.
What could that cherished Northwestern town be? Portland. He beats on Portland.
Oh, he does. For my cherished Northwestern town readers, which today shall remain nameless, if a particular video is somehow important to establish some desired fact, like the fact that somebody wasn't murdered in their prison cell, and that video is presented in court as the real deal, the unvarnished, unalloyed, undisturbed truth to constitute proof of non-homicide, and that never says, well, we did mess with it a little, and then the recipients are entitled expect something called authenticity, the genuine article, the real McCoy.
Right. So it's presented in court. It's the real deal. It's unvarnished. It's proof of a non-homicide. I mean, they said that. Cash came out several times. Look, you're going to show you the video. He absolutely killed himself.
Right.
We have proof.
Yes, it was suicide.
Off, forget the fact you can't even see half the stairs, which we've already said might make it a little bit.
And forget the fact that all the injuries look ridiculous, not like a suicide, but like a homicide.
Yeah, no, none of those match. None of those match. The physical crime scene evidence is clearly of a homicide.
Oh, yeah. Right? Absolutely.
The ligature marks do not go up like this.
Yep.
So again, he was found hanging with his buttocks suspended about an inch and a half off the ground. Allegedly, there's no crime scene photos. Nobody took a picture. And his legs out straight. So if you can imagine how you could hang from a bunk with a rope or anything, let alone a prison bed sheet, if you could hang that way with your buttocks suspended, obviously it's going to be a straight down thing. So your ligature marks are going to be coming straight up like this. His ligature marks go straight back like this.
Like a garret.
Straight back. Yeah. 90 degrees back. And I say marks because there's at least two sets. Like there was a pull and then a reposition and a second pull. There's two marks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he had three broken bones. His hyoid bone was broken and also his thyroid on both sides.
Right. So if you put all that aside,
forgetting all of that, they said, oh, yeah, here's proof. Proof of a non-homicide. Here's proof. Anyway,
carrying on.
In pink. What do we got?
And then later on, the recipient hands the video evidence to an expert who concludes this is a badly drawn cartoon. The recipient can assume the video's offerer was trying to deceive them. The burden shifts to the video's offerer, who now has a massive bit of splaining to do. They must persuasively prove why they edited the video and why they didn't disclose tampering with it in the first place. They must produce the unedited version. They must now disclose everything and try to somehow explain away all their well-intended edits.
Right. So in a courtroom, which is really what this is the court of public opinion, is what we're dealing with here. They've now in the courtroom, this is like,
this is a
one
faux
of those
pas.
Moments. Like, oh no, now they're going to have to dig, they're in a hole.
Yeah.
They got to dig out of this hole now. It's very bad. Right.
Do you think they care? Do they realize that they
don't
make
any sense?
No, I know
they care. And we'll get to that in a minute because the political storm off of this is extraordinary. It's not going away.
Okay.
And it shouldn't. All right, let me finish up with what Jeff's take was here at the end. He said, then, even if the video offerer could prove all those new things, the edited video would still be thrown out of the offerer's case as inauthentic and might be handed right over to the recipient as admissible impeachment evidence for convincing the jury that the video's offerer is a liar. It would then be up to the offerer to convince the jury they didn't lie. Not exactly, not on purpose. It'd be a major credibility crisis. So it's technically true that the altered video is not proof of an intent to deceive, but in a trial, it would allow a legal presumption of the offerer's intent to deceive. It's not proof, but it's a legal presumption. They intended to deceive. So when they came out and wired, you know, Evie saying, oh, you know, they didn't, it doesn't show any deception. Oh, yeah, no, it totally does.
Yeah.
It totally does, but not least of which is it's the credibility crisis. That's the core of this. They now have a major credibility crisis on their hands, obviously.
Yep.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because of things like X now, people are able to discuss this and talk about it. And it's not just in the hands of the mainstream media, which we know don't really talk about it at all or haven't wanted to go there.
Yeah. You know, and to Hypnicity's point here, oops, not this one. I that's a good one, but not that one. I was trying to get to the one above that. Is
the ears don't match.
I'm not even sure Epstein's dead at this point. That's how
bad
the credibility crisis is.
Yep. I've heard people talking about that.
Because remember, he was getting wheeled out and the ears and the nose just really don't match.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I thought? I was trying, you know, I try to be generous. So I was, you know, what's the possibilities? Possibility is sometimes when people die, their skin retracts a little and it can make things look weird. Like it sometimes doesn't always necessarily look
I remember
same,
like in a wake you look at your relative and you're like
but for a long time they had presented it. They said Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell slumped. They didn't say hanging with his buttocks off. That was years later,
right?
So for 3 years they went with the slumped thing. So I thought, okay, so he was slumped over on the side of his head, that ear we took the shot at, so it got squished.
Misshapen.
And
somehow
it pulled the skin, so his nose was no longer straight, but really hooked. I accounted for it like he was slumped over and smashed into something, because I wake up with pillow face too. I get it. And I'm alive, right? You know?
Right.
Then we find out, no, that's not true. So this is a possibility that we can't actually be positive that he's even dead at this point.
I mean, yeah.
You know?
I think that's right. I mean, there's so many questions. There's so many things that just don't make any sense at all.
So remember, we went over this Mm-hmm. And now we're free to parse everything they put out. This was that weird memo that they just sort of threw out there.
Right. That didn't have like a, like,
signatures or masthead or.
Yeah. Nothing. No date. Like, where did
and
it come from?
They leaked it out on a Sunday to see how we'd all respond. And the answer is badly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now we can parse it a little bit. Like, now they're trying to focus on this idea there's no client list, but why is it in quotes? Because I use quotes when I'm trying to be ironic. There's no client list.
Are right? they making fun of us? Are they making fun of people that have been harmed by him?
And also, there was no credible evidence they found that he blackmailed prominent individuals. So, credible evidence. Well, do you have any evidence?
Hmm.
Because sometimes blackmail is like, send me $1,000 or I'll release these photos of you, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's a little more subtle than that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like we talked about stochastic terrorism. Like, sure, it would be a shame if blah, blah, blah happened. I mean, yeah, you can manipulate people in lots of ways,
Jeffrey Epstein
right?
sends an email to a prominent senator and says, you know, Israel has would really like to see that bill passed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not credible evidence of blackmail.
Right.
You know, unless you happen to have the video of that senator.
Right. Exactly.
With children or
exactly.
something. Okay. But then this too, right? And they said down here, they're like, oh yeah, review concerned that Epstein harmed over 1,000 victims.
Mm.
And we know it was others. We know it was others because some of the victims have broken the silence and have come out very publicly and said, here's who harmed me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So we know it was others. They don't even mention the others.
No, they don't.
Not even like Epstein and allegedly others, because some victims alleged it and we haven't established it, because, you know, victims can say
this
anything.
This is a giant sex trafficking ring, no? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there are other people that should be indicted in this.
Yeah, so this is just a cover up, and this is weasel language, and they're weasel wording everything to try and get through this whole thing.
I would agree.
Yep.
I would agree.
Yeah. All right. So now, Trump is making a stupidly huge mess out of this fiasco, though.
Oh, is he?
Really huge. Really huge.
Can you go down on the comments when you get
it? Oh, sure, sure. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, yeah. exactly. All right. So let's listen in on this. So Trump said this out on the White House lawn.
No. She's given us just a very quick briefing. And in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, and I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey. They were made up by Obama. They were made up by the Biden we went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she's handled it very well. And it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release. Yeah.
He's talking about Pam Bondi.
Yeah. But he says, oh, the files are made up. You know, Russiagate was made up. These are made up. So now he's trying to pin it on the prior administration, right? He's like, no, it wasn't me. Well, it had nothing to do with Trump 1. We didn't make it up.
It
was either Biden or Obama. Skip me, please, right?
Yeah.
In between those two, right? 2016 to 20.
It's disappointing to me.
So that's what he's going with. He's going with the files were made up. So what are we actually, when we say the Epstein files, I'm worried that this has taken on a life of its own. You know, there's a red herring where sometimes they put something out there and you chase it and it's not the right thing.
Yeah.
So the idea is that what are the Epstein files? Because look, we've had the flight logs forever.
Yeah. What does that entail?
We know that the FBI we established last time, failed to raid any of his properties before, during, or after any of his time being an alive sex trafficking, you know, intelligence operative.
Right.
They only got to his apartment, townhouse, days after he died and forgot to bring a warrant, right? And then 4 days later, all the stuff was missing, right?
Right.
And then they never went to the Zorro Ranch in New Mexico. And it was only days after his death, they finally went to Little Epstein Island, right? You know. So what are the files? What are we talking about?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Because you would think, oh, the files are like there's like a series of binders and everyone has like a name like Dershowitz or Summers or, you know, Gates or whatever.
Something.
And in that file is like pictures and proof and DNA swaps. I don't know, but I don't think there is not how this works. Epstein would have videotaped everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody would know they were being videotaped, part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a player in the game to play this game of swamp.
Mm-hmm. You got to put something on the line.
They have to know they can trust you. That's how DC works.
I know.
You're not going to, you have a high integrity. You are not getting into the game. Right?
Yeah.
So everybody knew it. So that's how I see it. Like, there is no files, right? Because but what do they even mean when they say the files? Are we talking, is it video evidence? Is it paper-based? Are they pictures?
Were they investigating and that's what it's referring to?
Right.
Like, have they been gathering data for a long time?
But while they have us all focused on this, you'd think, but I think they were burning it all, getting rid of it, and deciding which pieces to save because they're too valuable to burn.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But even as they're having us like the files are made up. You know what's not made up? Leon Black of Apollo Group gave $170 million to Jeffrey Epstein.
I know.
After his conviction.
Yep.
For sex trafficking, for his legal services. Is that what we call them? I call them illegal services.
Legal services? Is that what it was?
And tax advice, right? We know that Leslie Wessner, gave him the townhouse and $48 million and power of attorney.
We have Ghislaine. Why don't we tap her a little bit?
Well, she'll lie like crazy too. I wouldn't trust a thing she said.
No.
But, you know.
I mean, I would be like, all right, you want to spend your life in jail or give us some credible information here?
Hey, well, we'll see. So that was then, and then, you know, that went over like a lead balloon. People just trashed him for that. So then this is the next day. So he has a chance to clean it up.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information has been given.
Well, the interest, Mr. President, is that people in this country don't want our children to be sexually molested and abused. That's the interest.
We don't want our daughters, our sisters, our wives, whatever, our girls being subject to that.
A nation that cannot defend its women is not a nation whatsoever. So he's basically saying, look, there's a class of people that if they did this stuff anyway, one of them's dead. Can't we just move on? And it's the most politically tone deaf thing I think I've ever heard. Like, Trump has good political instincts. This is a giant disaster for him. And so he's just doubling down on the most tone deaf, negative political return stance he could possibly take.
Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand.
He's saying, you know what? Sometimes the government, we know, sometimes lies about things. Therefore, this must be a lie. It's a deductive failure.
Right. It doesn't. It's an inductive failure.
Right? It's like a complete logic fail, you know?
Who is that next to him? Do you know who that gentleman is?
Well, that would be Howard Lutnick. So it turns out, here you go.
Okay. Thank you. Because I feel like whoever is around him right now is a huge part of this somehow.
Making sure he sticks to the story. One of his handlers is standing next to him.
Exactly. That was my sense.
See, look what Max said.
Max said, standing beside Trump is Howard Lutnick, Jeffrey Epstein's longtime neighbor who bought his townhome from a trust controlled by Epstein and Les Wexner. Oh my gosh. Brilliant optics. Correct. That's crazy.
No, that can't be true. No.
Is that right?
No. Oh yeah. It turned out it was true.
Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan townhouse could be a tough sell. And this was published in August of 2019. The home also tops out at 120 feet while towering over its neighbors to the north and east, including Howard Lutnick of Cantor Fitzgerald, who bought the adjacent smaller townhouse owned by Victoria's Secret parent L Brands, where Epstein previously lived.
So, you know what's,
So he's a fox right there next to him in the hen house.
It has to be. And by the way, not for nothing. I mean, just think of the odds, right? That Howard Lutnick happens to be now our commerce secretary, is standing with Trump on the tarmac when he delivers this obvious waffly BS.
Bogus.
Happens to live right next door to Jeffrey Epstein. I assume saw nothing. I saw nothing, right? And to put a really fine point in this, this is 2019. So this is way before he's being considered even for this position when this article's written. And you know what jumped out for me in that? It says Howard Lutnick of Cantor Fitzgerald. Now, in 9/11, one of the most offices that got the most decimated were the Cantor Fitzgerald offices that were on the upper floors of one of the World Trade Center towers. Think of the odds.
This is
all tied together somehow.
Oh, it is.
It just is. I think we can feel that.
Right? I hope it unravels in my lifetime. I really want to know the truth.
All right, Evie, I hate to put you on the spot, but I have a reading challenge for you. So then after all of this, it goes really bad.
Okay.
And then Trump puts out a boomer wall of text on Truth Social. This just came out today.
Oh, boy.
And your challenge is I need you to read his first sentence with a single breath of air.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. The radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again. Just like with the fake and fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from hell, which the Dems swore had come from Russia. No, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom. And even the Russia scam itself, a totally fake and made up story used in order to hide crooked Hillary Clinton's big loss in the 20s. All right, I ran out of here. In the 2016 presidential election, these scams and hoaxes are all the Democrats are good at. It's all they have. They are no good at governing, no good at policy, no good at picking winning candidates. Also, unlike Republicans, they stick together like glue.
So he's just saying, look, this whole thing is just a big Democrat scam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't matter that under Trump won when he had Bill Barr as his attorney general, he ruled that it was Epstein committed suicide right away,
mm-hmm.
even though that the forensic evidence didn't match. And they didn't explain themselves. They didn't feel like they had to. They just said, yeah, it's suicide and that's the end of the story.
We're
done. Right. So he's trying to say it's all a big Democrat thing. Now, this is a dangerous strategy because this could backfire badly, very badly, when
in
we find
way?
Out that it's not a Democrat scam.
Right.
Right.
It could be bad.
So the setup here is extraordinary. What if there are video files? Okay. What if they exist? And what if somebody's just waiting for the right moment to unleash them? Well, what do? You wait for the other side to put the rope around their neck four times,
mm-hmm.
and then you release it and you say, oh, look, not so much of a Democrat scam anymore.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
I mean, this is dangerous.
This is dangerous. He goes on to say, their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And my past supporters have bought into this bullshit.
Oh, my past, all caps, right?
Past supporters.
Past. No, past, meaning he's all done with them.
He's all done with the deplorables.
If you bought into the hoax, what he's calling the Jeffrey Epstein hoax, without telling you why it's a hoax, except to say there have been other hoaxes in the past, therefore this has to be one too, which is a failure of logic, obviously. But he's not presenting any evidence. And we're here presenting the evidence saying, dude, you have missing minutes and you've been deceptively editing stuff. It gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Anyway, but he's like, if you believe this, I am all done with you.
I'm all done with you. So he goes on to say, and my past supporters have bought into this bullshit hook, line and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 long years.
So lots of us weren't conned by any of that Russia stuff, and we're not conned by this either.
No.
Right? So what do you do with people who weren't conned by either thing? Right?
Critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Now in red.
Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking about our incredible and unprecedented successes, because I don't want their support anymore.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
The weaklings.
Okay.
You're a weakling, Chris.
Well, and he doesn't want my support anymore. So here he is. So think about this. Who has the power to convince Trump to commit political hari-kari?
Yeah.
He is jettisoning huge amount. Like when you lose voters, that's your currency in this game.
Yeah.
You don't jettison voters willy-nilly, right?
Right. Yeah, you know? He's putting a lot at stake here.
Huge amounts.
I mean...
So what's more powerful than your political livelihood? And we have midterms coming up. We'll get into that in just a second. Now, this is on Truth Social. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's his platform.
Right.
So you would think on his platform, he'd get a lot of support. I did not cherry pick. These are the first two comments you run into under that particular wall of boomer tweet.
Replying to that, why was Epstein in prison then? How about Ghislaine? For a hoax? I don't think so. This is the hill we all die on.
Look, 3,000 hearts on that, right?
That's a lot. Yep. And a lot of people are talking about it too, 526. And then the next post is, people you nominated for your own administration talked about Epstein for years. Now you're saying it never was without giving us the proof.
Sure. Yep.
And you don't want the support of your full base simply because they don't believe what you do?
That's it right there. Now you're saying it never was. No proof. And yep. I'm willing to jettison you for daring to think differently than I proclaim.
Well, it's kind of like That's what he did wild. To Thomas Massie, too. You know?
It's wild. It's really wild. That means, so one of the things you'll notice if you ever see Trump live is he's very responsive to the crowd. Like, he's feeling the energy. I think he's a genius at it, right?
Yeah, I think he's
like
good
he knows
at it
where
too.
The political energy is. So either he's so disconnected from the world right now, he's got a wall of handlers who are keeping him from that connection.
Seems like it.
Or something else is going on I can't explain, because this is the most politically tone-deaf, inept thing I've seen in a long time from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, carrying on, this was the next...
The next...
There were three tweets or three comments in a row, and there were hundreds and thousands of comments. I only took the top three.
Okay. None of this makes any sense, and I hate to see you losing overall support over this unforced error in messaging to your base and Americans.
That's right, right?
That real Donald Trump.
Unforced error in messaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's unforced. Well, or is it? I mean, somebody must be forcing it.
It must be, because he's not that stupid. Is he?
No, I can't see it. I can't see it.
Yeah. Most of your supporters have wanted justice for elite child sex crimes related to the Epstein / Intel Agency worldwide blackmail operation since it was covered up in 2007. Long before any radical left Democrat cared or acknowledged. I will say I find your behavior and your administration behavior around this so dismissive and ludicrous that I think we will get a payoff down the road for actual justice for these elite pedophiles that were caught in the blackmail.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, maybe we all want justice, right? So let's talk about this immense political damage being caused by the Epstein cover-up. It is really bad. And so we'll get back into that in just a minute. But first, we are going to hear from... Are you worried that something really big is about to break and you are unprepared? Hey, it's Dr. Chris Martinson here. What if I told you the collapse isn't decades away, but that it's already started? Cheap energy is drying up. Debt's a ticking bomb. Resources are growing thin. The mainstream's blind, but I'm not. I'm your information scout at Peak Prosperity, digging into the data, web, news, real stories, anecdotes, and showing you the dominoes falling right now. I've tracked this since the original crash course nearly 20 years ago, and I'm not here to scare you, but to wake you. The edge is closer than you think. Subscribe today. Get the truth, get prepared before it's too late. Of course, that's what we care about at Peak Prosperity, is resilience and not being caught by the tidal waves of disastrous change that are coming. Part of the reason I'm focusing on this disastrous political adventure, misadventure, Evie and I are talking about this, is because everything connects to everything else. And when you fracture a country, I believe our country is under an intentional attack. I believe there are people who, you know, open borders, draining our strategic petroleum reserve, destroying the moral fiber of our children, right? The demoralization that's been happening, right? None of that's, you could look at it as a series of independent accidents of time and circumstance, but it's not. It's very intentional. And I believe that what we're seeing now in the Epstein case is an intentional mishandling that's designed to fracture the base. Because if you look at what's been happening lately, everything has been a long series of things to fracture us. My framing for that is based on something called shock-induced aggression, aka rats in a cage. If you haven't seen that episode, take a look at that, because it explains broadly what I think is happening. And once you understand it's intentional and you understand what it's trying to achieve, you can sideline yourself from that particular game and make sure that you're not caught up in it. Because what happens over time is we all end up with tunnel vision and we end up worn down and we can't make decisions. And right now, we all need to be making decisions and taking actions to become resilient.
Chris, where can we find the Rats in a Cage episode?
Well, you can find that. Obviously, everything's warehoused at Peak Prosperity. Okay. And we have a series of things there called foundational materials, which you can find on a tab. And we have all of that good stuff sort of laid out there.
Is it on YouTube also?
It's on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Search Rats in a Cage, Peak Prosperity.
All right. Great. Let's go to this immense political damage caused by the Epstein cover-up.
All right.
So this was Trump again.
Is this what he said?
Yeah.
I think, really, only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going in relation to the Epstein files.
Only pretty bad people. So this is like his own deplorables moment, you know?
It kind of is, isn't it?
Don't you think?
I'm surprised.
He's saying, if you think any of this stuff, you're a bad person, I don't care about you, I don't want your support anymore, you're a moron because you fall for fake news. Right,
right. Right.
Like, this is like, you know, hyperbolically, emotionally unhinged at this stage.
Right. Well, you know what's weird is, like, I mean, the left had this going on anyway with Hunter Biden, and I don't know how it all weaves together.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? But all the gross stuff that was on his laptop that got covered up. I mean,
oh, it's really
as a
disgusting
country, we've been dealing with this for a while, and it's not nothing.
No,
at all.
It's not.
Right. So
it's
he's
not.
Really not reading the room.
Yeah. And again, so this is to the point here, Bully Graphics saying,
closing the Epstein case is almost the same as Biden giving Fauci a pardon.
So I'll agree with that, because it's basically saying, look, the deep state always takes care of its own. This is the biggest problem for Trump, is he campaigned both during Trump 1 and also on the second run, that what he was going to do was come in and dismantle the deep state. So regardless of what actually happened, that none of us will ever really know all the depths of the disgusting, depraved things that happened in the context of running that honeypot child sex trafficking operation that the CIA and Mossad, or whatever the deep state was running. The larger lesson outside of the particulars is everybody's powerless against the deep state. They come in with the best of intentions, Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK, Trump, even if they came in this with the best of intentions, that machine wins every time.
It does.
That's the disappointing message sitting under this.
Yeah.
I think.
It chews them up.
So, Steve Bannon.
All right. Breaking. Steve Bannon says the GOP could lose 35 to 40 House seats if they don't fully release the Epstein files.
Right. Well, Steve Bannon's not a dummy. I mean, he's a pretty smart political observer. But the point is, like, if I don't vote for Republicans, I have to vote for Democrats. And that's going to cause a lot of heartbreak for a lot of people. So what could happen is a lot of Republicans just don't show up. So the Democrats win by default. You know, I don't think there's a lick of difference between the two parties.
No.
Right.
There's not.
There's a few bright lights in there. Thomas Massey's and Ron Johnson. There's a few bright lights.
Right.
But it's not party specific. We have a uniparty whose whole job is to make our lives miserable and just, you know, shove inflation down our throats and get us involved in endless wars and otherwise destroy the middle class. And they don't care about us.
Right. And do the bidding of who knows who.
Who knows who, which it's getting awkward.
It is getting awkward.
Pretty obvious. So I like Mark Mitchell. He runs Rasmussen Reports a lot. They were the only people, Rasmussen was the only people who did quality polling during COVID.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Rasmussen Reports, they said, breaking, roughly two-thirds of every political category, 68% of Democrats and 66% of Republicans and 69% of unaffiliated voters reject the idea that the Epstein case is closed and instead believe that there are dozens of powerful and wealthy offenders who need to face justice.
68, 66, 69, hike. I mean, that in terms of polling politically, this is not a partisan issue.
No, doesn't seem like it.
That is really broad base support.
Yep.
And I'm going to suggest that the 32-ish percent who aren't on board with this whole thing.
Well, people hate pedophiles, period. People hate, you know, those crimes in particular, like in a jail system. Those people tend to have to be separated. They don't do well.
In jail system, because there's actual justice inside the jail system. But outside, we've learned over the long, like Hunter Biden's laptop was full of disgusting, predatory sexual crimes.
I know it was.
Yeah. We know there's lots and lots of, I mean, there have been cases and cases and cases over the history of time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Lincoln scandal, the Dutroux case. I mean, it happens, right? You know, lots of credible reports of, you know, British society, right?
Oh, yeah.
So pedophilia is like a big thing. And and the operative question is, like, is that, it's not like this rare exception. Oh, no, there were a couple of pedophiles in power. We got to deal with it. Is it like most of them?
It seems that way. And it's weird how they're pushing transgender leaders in our face too, like Macron and Brigitte.
Benji, whatever we call
it.
Whatever.
Candace has been going to town on that. Candace Owens has.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So Mark Mitchell of Rasmussen reports only 16% of America says the Epstein case is closed. 68%
that's practically none.
60% say there are dozens of powerful and wealthy offenders who need to face justice. Brutal.
This is absolutely brutal.
It is.
So from a political standpoint, this is tough. Now.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. I've been hearing so let's imagine, okay, it's true. Epstein was running this big, giant, he was obviously doing stuff for his own prurient interests, but, you know, it aligned and overlapped in a Venn diagram with the interests of the state, Mossad, the CIA, probably the French, everybody, right? Like, this is how power in politics gets done. Let's not be naive. Okay. So he's involved in all of that. The only conclusion we can draw is that releasing those things is going to be too damaging. This is what I've heard from several people. Like, oh yeah, Chris, you know, they'd love to release them, but it could do something really bad. And so I've always been thinking, what? Can we just name it? So Bill Mitchell at least tried to write it down. He said, here's another theory. What if releasing the Epstein list would be a case of the cure being worse than the disease? So yeah, worse than a multi-decade child trafficking, sex trafficking ring where they probably involved actually all the way up to snuffing. All that's just gross, right? So worse is worse than that. If releasing the list exposed global leaders, there could be massive unrest, riots, destruction, governments could fall, hundreds or thousands or more could die, not to mention the vast destruction of property. So would exposing the perps in a 25-year-old crimes actually be worth destabilizing the entire world? This is the kind of question presidents must consider.
Huh.
You know, we had to put up with that same stupid thinking when they said, you know, we're going to have to bail out. We're going to have to give trillions of dollars to the bankers who just, you know, almost what would happen if our financial system crashed? I'd like, well, what would happen is we would lose Citibank. We would lose JP Morgan. We'd lose AIG because they just did stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dust would settle and better banks would come along and better insurance companies.
Right. Because right? That's how evolution works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good thing.
He's survival of the fittest.
I'm like, you say that like it's a bad thing. I mean, I don't want thousands to die, but this is hyperbolic. They always say that, oh my God, it's like the world would end. No, the world's not going to end if we find out there's
too, you know, big to fail.
There's a couple of hundred really nasty people who need to be held accountable like you or I are held accountable
mm-hmm.
on a constant basis.
Exactly.
At any rate, Tucker, of course, I think just nails this stuff.
Oh, he's so
concisely
good.
And pithily. I think he did it here again.
What is it about Jeffrey Epstein that's so infuriating to people, so infuriating that it's actually causing seismic political problems? And I hope that they'll address it and it'll get better. I really do. But what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's the frustration of normal people watching a certain class of people get away with everything every single time.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
Yep. A certain class of people. They get away with everything all the time, right?
Yep. And they buy their way out of things or they, mm-hmm. you know, the fixers, whatever.
They don't
they
face
do what
any
they
consequences.
Want to do or have to do to stay in positions of power. It's really gross.
Totally agree. Totally
what
agree.
What is...
All right.
So at this rate, Republicans are going to be utterly destroyed during the midterms, and that'll be that.
And that'll be
that's
that.
That's true.
It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't vote for anybody who's voting to cover up the Epstein file. I couldn't. I just can't.
It's going to be a litmus test, isn't it?
You know, it will. Right. All right. So now let's there was this other really awkward part in Joe Rogan's interview that it just drove me nuts. And it's this.
Okay.
So there was, just to set the stage here for people, Jeffrey Epstein was killed, right, on August 10th. But on July 23rd or 22nd, somewhere in that zone, he allegedly tried to commit suicide already. And here's how Kash Patel is framing that for us in the context of something Joe Rogan's reading an article.
Jeffrey Epstein jail CCTV erased by technical errors. Whoopsies.
But you see how anybody on the outside, I mean, this is like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
For some, can you pull that article up so we can read what it says, Jamie? U.S. prosecutor said the jail mistakenly saved footage from the wrong cell. Sorry. Epstein, a convicted sex offender, first tried to kill himself in July last year and hanged himself in jail.
Hang on.
Yep.
Reread that line.
That he first tried to kill himself in July of last year. Yeah.
How much of the American public do you think knows that?
I didn't know that until right now.
There you
Maybe
go.
I heard it and forgot. Did you ever hear it, Jamie? Well,
that's why he was on suicide watch, I think.
So this is important. So here's gotcha. Hey, whoa. Read that sentence again.
Yeah, that was kind
of much of the American public knows that he already had tried to commit suicide before. Therefore, it's pretty thinkable that he tried it again and got and succeeded this time.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to have to go into this just very quickly because
Jeffrey Epstein jail CCTV erased.
To note, by the way, during that first suicide attempt by Jeffrey Epstein, this was his cellmate. make of it what you
burly
will.
Burly man.
But he was in jail for committing homicide by strangling someone. This was his cellmate, right? And so this is fascinating. So this is a letter that's been sent. This is part of a court document now. And so that part in green down there is a letter that was sent by Jeffrey Epstein at the time, his lawyer, back to the prison officials. Okay. So what we got?
In green or all of it here.
Yeah, start on the top. We'll set the stage properly.
Sure. Here on July 23rd, 2019, at approximately 1:27 a.m., Jeffrey Epstein attempted to commit suicide inside of his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, which at the time he was sharing with Mr. Tartaglione.
Oh, this guy, Mr. Tartaglione. Yes.
Within 72 hours on July 25th, at 11:54 a.m., counsel sent the following email to Adam Johnson of the Bureau of Prisons.
Okay, so.
Or the BOP.
So on July 23rd at 1:30 in the morning, right, there's something happens.
Right.
And he gets a hold of his lawyer, and his lawyer says just 2 days later, it's like, whoa. They put out a preservation of records request, which is a very serious thing, right?
Yep.
When you get a preservation, you can't do anything. You can't touch anything. You have to do everything in your power to preserve those records.
Mm-hmm.
You should do it anyway because you're part of a prison system and it should be part of SOP. But a preservation of records request went out.
Okay. I write to request the preservation of all video surveillance that captures the hallway outside of Tartaglione's cell on the date and time of the Epstein incident that is currently being investigated. I believe that the date and time is July 23rd during the early morning hours. Accordingly, I would ask that all video surveillance from July 22nd at 11 p.m. to July 23rd at 4 a.m. is preserved. If it is your understanding that the incident occurred at a different time, please let me know and preserve the relevant footage, including an hour before the incident and an hour afterwards. If the responding officers were wearing body cameras that captured the inside of the cell in the aftermath of the incident, I'm requesting that such footage also be preserved. We will be officially requesting this material through the appropriate means, but please consider this email a formal preservation request.
Yep, from a lawyer. It's very clear. They're very specific. The times, they said, by the way, if we had the dates wrong, do the same thing at a different date. They didn't have the dates wrong.
Right.
That's what happened. So we talked about this before. So I'll just cover it very quickly again. But Epstein was found semi-conscious, marks on his neck, right? And, you know, they said, he may have tried to hang himself. It turns out that Epstein said he hadn't, and his cellmate Tartaglione said he didn't see anything and he didn't touch him. Right? you're in this little tiny cell, and this allegedly this other person's trying to kill himself, and you're like, I'm a heavy sleeper, I guess. I just didn't notice anything. Right? I must have been looking the other way. Right? It's just I didn't see anything. All that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this gets wild. Here's the big giant wall of text, but we're going to step through this very carefully. But you can see the court document up there and when it was filed and all that other stuff. So here's where it begins. So you saw that email go out from the lawyer, and he said, preserve all your records requests.
Right.
And so then we pick up the story from that point in time where it says at 1:59 p.m.
Mr. Johnson responded, I have asked the appropriate staff to preserve the requested video footage. Please be advised, MCC staff do not have body cameras.
Okay, so didn't get that part of what you wanted, but that's okay. I've told him to preserve the requested video footage. Okay.
5 months later, on December 18th, 2019, counsel advised the court that despite counsel's prompt and express preservation request, the government had informed counsel that the recordings at issue had been destroyed. The government.
What?
The government.
It's like, oh no. Oh no. And now Cash is out there saying, oh, remember, he tried to commit suicide. That's already established fact. Like,
no, it's not.
It would be established if we had the video footage.
That's crazy.
They destroyed it. This is the oldest trick in the book, right? They destroy the evidence and then they say, therefore, our wackadoodle hypothesis is the right one.
Yeah. No, it's kind of weird, though. What does the government mean? That's kind of vague.
Well, this is the DOJ at this point in time and the FBI. Okay. Because this.
But who are they alleging and destroyed that?
Let's carry on then. I'm glad you're asking that. This is from further down in the same document. We see that we read that part in green. Okay.
Right. The government stated that based on conversations with other members of the United States Attorney's Office, their understanding was that although the video did at one time exist, it had not been preserved.
Oops.
The government also added, however, that the government was still awaiting further information from BOP, stating, quote, we then received a follow-up email and we are working with BOP to determine what is the status of the video that they're asking us about and whether it ever existed, whether it was preserved.
Now, here's a problem. If you destroy something that's under a direct preservation request, it's a crime.
Right. And then what happens?
So now at first they're like explaining, the government said, well, we talked with the BOP. It looks like it wasn't preserved. Now that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So on 12/10, they're like, it was destroyed. And on 12/18, they're like, actually, we're going to have to look into that. We're not sure
whether it happened. Was destroyed or even existed.
And then just a tiny bit later, they come up with this, which is they say then on January 9th, the government's position on the video flip-flopped yet again when prosecutors advised the court that despite the government's recent understanding that the video had been preserved and that the government was working to obtain a copy from MCC, the government had learned that the MCC inadvertently preserved the video from the wrong tier within the MCC. And as a result, the video from outside the defendant's cell, which they specifically requested, no longer exists. The government explained further that the backup system in place that housed all video for the SHU, including the video requested by defense counsel, no longer exists. Ellipse, ellipse. And has not since at least August 19th as a result of technical errors.
August 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's nuts. Wow.
But wait, would you believe we did preserve records? So technically we weren't in violation, but we took the wrong ones. This is just them scrambling. This is full CIA, right?
This is BS is what this is.
So, but the truth is that what we're facing here, Evie, is that there was a first attempt on his life.
Yeah.
That didn't work out somehow.
I think so.
Right.
I think that's true.
Was the incident that led him being on suicide watch that ultimately resulted in them. Remember, we saw the crime scene, the suicide photos, his death room, his cell.
Yeah.
There was a BPAP machine in there with a giant cord.
Yep, could have easily been used.
So I've talked with other people since who say that if you're on actual suicide watch, they put you in a room with a concrete bed with the flimsiest little thing. You can't even call it a mattress, and that's it. There's like nothing you could possibly use to hurt yourself. You're not in a room with a bunk with little holes.
No.
You don't have BPAP machines with cords.
Nope.
None of that.
Nope.
That's not
everybody
actually what
knows
suicide
that.
Watch looks like.
No.
Okay. So.
Exactly. Well, dead men tell no tales. So
yeah,
it does seem that they were trying to unalive
him. So anyway,
him.
That's the first suicide thing that then Cash Patel comes out and says, oh, whoa. It's already been established he tried to commit suicide. And this is the actual data behind it. Epstein said he didn't. He said he was attacked by his cellmate.
Come on,
and
Cash.
And all the video went away.
You can do better.
It's very bad. And so even you have a judge here, Richard Broom, the United States District Judge, U.S. District Judge.
He says, dear warden, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your letter of August 10th, 2019 regarding the death of Epstein, blah, blah, blah. One open question, among others, is whether the investigations referenced in your letter will include the incident at MCC involving Mr. Epstein on or about July 23rd, 2019. To my knowledge, it has never been definitively explained what the BOP concluded about that incident.
Well, okay, at this point now, he's already dead because he died on August 10th.
Right.
So he's been dead. So in theory, this is a closed case now. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, just tell me. Tell me.
Right.
But instead of saying that, on August 12th, this person writes back. That's the warden of the MCC. The main DI, however you pronounce that.
Nade or something. Dear Judge Berman, I'm writing in regards to your August 12th, 2019 inquiry. Whether the investigations referenced in my August 10, 2019 letter will include the incident at MCC involving Mr. Epstein on or about July 23rd. I can confirm that, although an internal investigation was completed regarding the July 23rd incident, the current investigations by the FBI and OIG will include this incident as well. Accordingly, I cannot divulge any information about the prior investigation at this time.
Why not? He's dead. Case closed.
Who cares?
Who cares? It's, in theory, it's not an active investigation. He tried to commit suicide. Anyway. One of these
shenanigans,
you know, they're just all evading and dodging, and it's just awful at this particular point in time. So I don't know what to tell you about that, you know, except it all smells bad. And we pointed this out before and some people said it was important, so I'm going to repeat it again, which is to note Kash Patel's weird rhetorical devices that he uses all the time, where he doesn't say I don't have any information. He's not declarative. He doesn't say, you know, anything. He puts it into this weird rhetorical device where he will come back and say, do you really think that I wouldn't give you this stuff? Like, you'll notice it now that I've pointed it out. You'll probably hear it all the time, because what that does is it establishes that he's like, do you really think? Well, what I think is my opinion. So as soon as he's established that it's his opinion versus my opinion, and now we're just arguing over opinions, it's a pretty good device as sort of a sophomore level of debating. Do you really think I wouldn't do that? Right. Well, it doesn't really matter what you think. Instead, if I had said, I did not do that, and I'm declarative, that's different, because now you can undermine that with facts. So once you hear this, you'll hear it all the time, because this is just how he speaks now.
We're not going to let that go. We're going to investigate him, right? They charge him, they indict him, and he's awaiting trial. And I've said it, Dan Bongino said it, we've reviewed all the information, and the American public is going to get as much as we can release. He killed himself. Do you think, let's play out the logical conclusion of this. Do you think that myself, Bongino, and others would participate in hiding information about Epstein's grotesque activities? Or do you think we would also participate in not prosecuting people? We had evidence to prosecute people on. But the problem is there's been like 15 years of people coming in and creating fictions about this that doesn't exist. Where's the videotape of an Epstein Island of X, Y, and Z committing these frauds? Why haven't you given it to us? Do you really think I wouldn't give that to you if it existed?
That's not the same as saying it doesn't exist. He's saying, do you really think I wouldn't give it to you if it existed?
Right.
Who cares?
Which is questioning whether we trust him.
Right.
And deflecting completely.
Yeah.
From the subject at hand.
Yeah.
No, that's stupid.
No, it's kind of weak.
It is weak.
It's very weak. And the answer is yes, I do think you would.
Cash is beta. Stuff.
I do. I actually do think you would. I do. That's the problem. Because we already have a credibility crisis, because we've already established that you put out non-raw footage. We've already established that there's been that the FBI completely failed their obligation and duty to protect the children of this country by not investigating.
Yep.
Hunter Biden plus this guy plus a million other guys over time that they failed in their duty investigatorily to like preserve evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We know all that already. So yes, we really do think that, Cash. It's like that's a thing, right?
You beta.
Well, and then he comes out with this weird trust me, bro stuff all the time. Again, notice this stuff. He's tried this several times. It lands really flat on me every time.
I'm working my ass off along with the leadership at the Bureau and DOJ to get.
You have sympathy yet? He's working the sympathy angle. Dude, I'm working my ass off.
No, not really.
Chew what we're allowed to give you. And you're going
to
get the...
To give you what we're allowed to give you. Allowed by whom? Again, we have questions.
Video of the cell. And you're going to see for yourself. And we will never be able to convince everyone.
Okay, let's get into that. So what did you think before you got in office? Did you think that Epstein was murdered?
No.
No. That was an awkward pause.
No, it's awkward.
Because he has expressed concerns and questions in the past.
He did.
Yep, lots of them. No. Let's just back that one. That one's funny.
Let's get into that. So what did you think before you got in office? Did you think that Epstein was murdered?
No.
No suspicion at all of it?
But I have a different background, right?
Right.
So I was a public defender back in the day. I used to spend a lot of time in jails and a lot of time in segregated housing units, shoes, as we call them, right? And so, and I've known people that have committed suicide in these cells. And I know how you get in, how you get out, who works the system. And so the way, based on public information at the time, that he ended up, put the pictures and him hanging himself, I was like, man, that guy killed himself. There's just no way that you could have run an op and had people go into that cell and not have any video of it and not have any people come out.
Well, you'd think there would be no way to have no video of it, but as we've already established, and he already knows this because they've already been editing that video that he's now talking about since May.
Right.
In theory, he would have watched it at least once, and anybody would deductively conclude you can't tell shit from that video.
No, you can't.
Somebody could sneak up the right side of the stairways, and there's missing minutes and all that stuff, right? So, but he's like,
So this guy really irritates you. I can tell.
Well, because it's not even good lying. It's like, I'm frustrated with the lack of artistry in being a good liar.
Yeah.
He's just not even good at it.
No, he's not.
I mean, listen in.
I don't need
he ended up put the pictures and him hanging himself. I was like, man.
What pictures? What, you got pictures? Because nobody else has got any pictures of him hanging himself.
No, information at the time that listen he ended up put the pictures and him hanging himself. I was like, man, that guy killed himself. There's just no way that you could have run an op and had people go into that cell and not have any video of it.
You'd think there shouldn't be any way for somebody to run an op and get into a cell without any video evidence. But apparently
there definitely is.
There is. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the video doesn't exist.
And not have any people come out and say, hey, yeah, I saw that guy. He shouldn't have been there. The guard or this guy. There's just no access points into places like this in the detention center he was in, which I've been in.
So there are other inmates on his cell block at that time. They would be obvious people. We should know their names and we should see the interviews with them where they clearly say, yeah, I didn't see nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. And if one of them's Tartaglione, I'm going to be a little bit less than surprised.
That's true.
At any rate. Yeah. But he said it's like it's this whole thing, which is like I was a public defender, dude. I've been into prisons before. So therefore, I am qualified to conclude that it was a suicide. Because obviously me walking in and out of these buildings in a public defender role with a briefcase qualifies me to look at crime scene situations and make total sense of them.
And know what happened.
Like, you know, that's like
I'm working.
That's like me pulling up to these guys and saying, hey, guys, I drive over this bridge every day. Let me give you some advice on how to go about fixing this.
That's funny. No, it is kind of the equivalent, though. You're right.
No, it totally is. So
this is some BS.
It is
some fresh BS.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to skip ahead again.
Yep.
And we're gonna
are we gonna save this for later?
No, let's just go through.
You're gonna plow through.
Let's just do a quick inshidification break here, because what the heck.
Okay.
At least it's funny in a tragic comic sort of a way. This is what's happening to our country and the world a little bit. It's that process. And in this process, things just get worse and worse and worse. And nobody has any power to make it get unworse. And you know that because of such things as this, where the lectern guy said, I can't believe I served more time in federal prison for moving a lectern during the J6 thing. This is the lectern guy with his hat, you know, than any of Epstein's clients. And I said, when the empire collapses and someone says to you, if only there had been some warning signs, show them this. Yep, that's how I look at it. How about this, Evie? Remember, you know, the super tragic floods that just happened in Texas?
Yep.
Right? This is just...
Okay.
Just the yellow part, I guess.
Yeah, the area where the floods occurred, known as Flash Flood Alley.
Oh, it's Flash Flood Alley.
They know this, lacked public alarms or warning sirens due to the expense required to set them up, and weather alerts sent to mobile phones may not have been received due to spotty service.
Oh, we just didn't have the money. This is the insidification. Like, oh, think how much it would cost to put up sirens in places where bad things happen regularly.
Right. Where you know? We know it's terrible. That's awful.
I mean, next they're going to be like, you know, yeah, it would have been a really good idea to have a stoplight there at that major crossing, but we couldn't afford them. Like, we send hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to Israel to blow shit up, to Ukraine to blow shit up, right?
For illegal aliens that come in this country.
We fly them into the country. Endless money.
Give them debit cards.
Endless money if it's about destroying the country and making us poor and killing people in other places. Mm-hmm. But putting up sirens in our own country?
Nah.
That's hard.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Right? Remember this, Evie?
Yep.
That's the Baltimore Bridge going down with that ship strike.
That was awful.
Remember that?
Yeah. Have they fixed it yet?
No. Apparently. 16 months later, nothing.
16 months ago, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed in Baltimore after a cargo ship hit it. We still haven't started rebuilding a new bridge. In fact, they are just starting to demolish the old remains this week.
That's years ago now. Biden threw $3.1 billion at it. I'm like, well, maybe shouldn't the insurers pay for that? Or maybe the shipping company?
Right. Or to do something? What?
But billions. I guarantee you almost all of that billion, it's gone.
It went into somebody's pocket.
And it's gone. It's been used for DEI programs and, you know.
So frustrating.
Migrant rent and whatever else. But
it's how the people in our government get rich. Uh-huh. Somehow they end up with millions when they leave office.
So as I said, insidification is a late stage symptom of empire decline. It's like getting creaky knees.
I think
it's
you're
just,
right.
It's just a thing. It's just a thing. Well, how about this one, Evie? So the FBI finally is launching probes into three children's hospitals for genital mutilation of minors, which, you know, they called it gender affirming care, but.
That's awful.
Yeah.
The lips of TikTok said, breaking, FBI launches criminal investigations into Boston Children's Hospital, Children's Hospital of Colorado, and Children's Hospital Los Angeles for genital mutilation of minors. If you mutilate kids, you belong in prison.
Mm-hmm. That's just how it is.
Correct.
Hypnicity suggesting that when it comes to the Scott Key Bridge, the insurance is fighting over responsibility. But, you know, on 9/11, they just Larry Silverstein got a big giant payout after taking out dual independent coverage on the buildings for terrorism specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah he had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah, no idea.
No idea.
No idea. How about this? The Malibu fires, you know, and the Palisades fires and everything.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
So just on July 14th, Adam Carolla said, Monday morning, over 6 months after the fire, and zero work. No trucks, no crews, no materials.
Because you just can't.
It just looks like a wasteland.
You just can't. Like, they just couldn't. It's going to be impossible to rebuild. But I guarantee you something. In the insidification framework, these people are going to receive property tax bills as if they still had.
Oh, you know they will.
Full value functioning buildings.
You know they will.
I know they will, because I know how this stuff works.
And they'll probably be higher than last year.
Oh, probably.
Just to rub it in.
Just to make it burn. Yeah. No, but these are all the little things that are just designed to sort of nibble at you until you either give up with demoralization or you finally get angry and you get the pitchforks and torches out.
And we kind of all have to get that way together.
We do.
Because otherwise we get taken down.
Yeah. So speaking of just Childers' favorite Northwestern city.
Uh-huh.
Coming from that state of Oregon. I know you'll love this one, Evie. So it turns out
they passed a new water law starting January
HB 2982.
Are you going to play this? Or...
No. I just took a screenshot.
Starting January 1st, 2026, a kayak, paddleboard, and even your inner tube counts as a boat in Oregon. If you do not have a permit, you will face a $115 fine.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, because our government wants the money for people to float in the river.
So you can't even float in your own rivers anymore. We're not allowed to use our own. You need a boat permit. You need a permit. You know what? Like a child in an overly strict household, you have to get permission to do anything, except you live in a really weird household where you also have to pay for the permission.
That's really gross. You know what? That's what I can't believe that. See, this is how they're going to close things down too. Because mm-hmm. at a certain point, you know that they're all of those verifications are going to be on here,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be able to flag, you know, your name and who you are, and ding your bank account for those fines and take it out without you even having a say about it.
Why would you need a permit to float on a river in an inner tube? A permit. Well, we'll have to allow.
Or
you.
They do a
we
swim test or something.
You could do that. Although you know that's coming next. There'll be certifications and trainings.
Yeah, right.
And you know, run by a very DEI sort of a crew.
Like, do you know how to operate this? Like,
but this is
inner
the kind,
tube.
This is the hellhole they're creating, right? So again, if you happen to be a resident of the United States, they treat you like absolute dog shit.
They do. They treat us.
Yeah, and I'm suggesting this is intentional. This is part of the,
I think so too.
We hate whites. We hate citizens. We hate taxpayers. We hate productive people. We love all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And you know that by their actions, by their fruits, ye shall know them.
That's
right.
True.
This is just how it is.
It's happening in other parts of the world too. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally it's the West that this is happening to.
Yeah.
And there's some serious questions about who is actually running our government at this time.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you want to go through your lettuce?
I don't know. We could if we have time. We don't have to.
I don't know if we could get through all three.
Yeah, we don't have to. It doesn't make sense unless we do all three.
Oh, it doesn't?
Okay. No, we can save them for next time. It's about 6 minutes total.
All right.
But that's all right. We'll save it.
Okay.
Because we do want to start bringing you all some information about what we're doing here on our farm.
Mm-hmm.
We're busy growing as much as we can. And Chris and I have been gardening for decades, and we have a lot of experience, but we're still always learning something new. And growing a garden is about one of the best things you can do so that you learn how to rely more on yourself and less on the grocery stores, because in the future, who knows what things are going to cost. And who knows where we're going to get them from, all things considered. So if you are interested in becoming more resilient, definitely go by Peak Prosperity and check us out. But regardless, do plant some seeds, throw something in the ground this year and watch it grow. It's a really special experience.
Absolutely. Plant a garden.
And we hope to show you some of our learnings, our successes and failures here on the farm in the future. But this man has so much to say, so we don't always get there. Chris.
Well, we'll try harder next time. But no, this is, I really wanted to get to this because this is one of the most politically explosive things I've ever seen. The signs from Trump show that he's either completely lost his marbles, or more likely he needs to blink twice because he's actually in a hostage situation. It doesn't feel like that this is what, I don't think this is what Cash wants to do, or Dan, or any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow there's a machine operating in DC that's more powerful than their senses of integrity. And we've been compromised, right? That's it. Full stop. If you say there's a group of people who are so powerful, they get to rape your daughters and face no consequences, then you've been overrun. You've lost it. You are no longer in charge of your country, right? Somebody else is. So the whole conceit is that we're voters and we vote people in. You don't like these people, so get these people in next time. Those people have no power. The Congress has no power whatsoever. If I ever get called in front of Congress, I'll just sit there and just like waffle around and give BS answers, and they'll get mad at me, you know, and say really mean things, but nothing will happen. No, nothing.
Nothing does happen.
Nothing. We saw people just all during COVID just got in front of Congress and Senate and just lied and lied and lied. Fauci lied, flat up lied, lied.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lied. Got an auto pen, you know, pardon or whatever, and that's supposed to protect him, whatever. People in power never get in trouble. So if I was going to run for president, I would have, you know, if I could advise Elon, any chance Elon's watching this, or somebody who can get to him, one plank only. Don't screw it up. Don't have foreign policy in there. Don't tell people what you do with education. Keep it simple. The plank is, got a motto, consequences. They're not just for little people anymore. That's the whole plank. Run on that. Stick to the message. Turn every question back, how you're going to hold everybody to the same standard, and rich people, powerful people are going to and face the same consequences that we do. Because without the appearance as well as the reality of justice, that is one of the most important pillars holding our society together and preventing it from imploding and turning into a complete nightmare. Because after all, if they're not going to follow the rules, Why should we follow the rules? It's a very slippery slope. We're on it right now. And the only way to arrest it would be to arrest other people who are actually in positions of power. So far, none of that's happening. And so that's what needs to happen next.
We're still in the Gulf of no one has been arrested yet.
Yes.
Deeply, as you say.
Deeply in the Gulf.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being with us this afternoon. And just to wrap things up, I'm going to read something by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow for you to enjoy. It's called A Psalm of Life. And he says, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream, for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act, that each tomorrow find us further than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And, departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait."
Beautiful. You know, the only footprints that are durable to some extent are those formed with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, thank you very much, everybody. Adios, amigos.
Thanks for spending your afternoon with us. Take good care of yourselves and each other, and we will see you next week.
Fantastic. Until then, bye-bye.